Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're pleased to have Judge Evans from the great state of Wisconsin and a Green Bay Packer fan sitting with us this morning.
Not that pleased.
No,
as someone
that pleased.
From Chicago.
It's a thrill sitting with two judges from two states that do not have a team playing. Judge Kaney is from Indiana. Judge Williams, of course, although from Michigan originally, is a Chicagoan through and through.
All right, then. First case this morning is Samassa versus Holder.
Good morning, Your Honors, Counsel. May it please the Court. My name is Zohair Nubani. I'm here on behalf of Respondent Petitioner Muhammad Samassa's counsel, Shafiq Idrisi, who could not be here today. Your Honors, we are here today because we contend that the decision of the immigration judge in denying Mr. Samassa's application for asylum and of the BIA's decision affirming that finding was an error, and we're asking that a review of that decision and a granting of this petition of review be granted.
Can you just clear up one thing? It doesn't really go to the merits of the case, but when did he come to the United States, and how did he get here?
As far as entering into the United States, he came into the United States in October of 2000. As far as entering into the United States, he came in on a passport that was supplied to him by someone in Senegal and entered the United States on an airplane carrier.
With a
passport that I believe was not specifically issued by the Senegalese government. He is not from Senegal. As you know, in this case, he was deported to Senegal by the Mauritanian military or the Mauritanian government. There was a bone of contention about the time that he came in. However, the judge did not although in his dicta he says that he wasn't convinced of the time, that it was timely filed. However, he didn't even make a decision on that, I believe, in reading the decision. The issue really is here, I believe that the court did find that there was past persecution of Mr. Samassa. The history in Mauritania, as you may or may not know, has been replete with the issue of slavery. There are a number of ethnic groups in Mauritania, and Mr. Samassa belongs to the ethnic group called Soninka, which is a racially black, and they have been persecuted throughout Mauritania's history and in the recent past. And in fact, in contention until today, the real issue here, I believe, is that the court did find that there was past persecution. However, the court denied his application on the basis that if he was to be returned to Mauritania, he would not be persecuted in the future. We feel that was an error. There is evidence in the record from letters from his mother and from his sister contending that things have not changed in Mauritania. If he is to return, he would still be persecuted. Also, his testimony that fellow Mauritanians or people of the Soninka ethnicity and others who are darker skinned have been persecuted and maltreated by the Mauritanian government. We believe that the finding of the judge that things have changed is incorrect. If you look at the record, there was a military coup, correct, that Mr. Taya, who was the leader of Mauritania at the time, was overthrown in 2005 by Mr. Wall. However, Mr. Wall was then overthrown. Things have not been stable in Mauritania whatsoever. Things have not really changed as far as the treatment of people, as far as the issue of slavery. Although Mauritania says that it outlawed it, it still goes on. Even in the United States here in 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation freed slaves. However, we know that things were not good for Afro-Americans for at least 100 years afterwards, so the Civil Rights Movement came. So for the judge to find that Mauritania things now are different, things are good, he would not be persecuted, we feel was an error, and that decision should be reversed. If you have any specific questions, I'd be glad to answer it quickly. However, as I said, I think the real issue here really comes to the point of the further future persecution. That's what the court, that's what the judge made his decision based upon. Past persecution was found, and really it's the issue of future persecution, which we feel the evidence is in our favor and not in the judge's favor. The BIA was just basically a rubber stamp of his decision. I don't think they went any further into it other than what the judge's findings were. So as I said, we ask that you find for granting this petition of review and a reversal of the judge's decision.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
Mr. Missouri.
Good morning, Your Honors.
Good morning, counsel. You have to excuse me. This is my first time ever in front of any type of judges or any courtroom, so I'm a little bit nervous. May it please the court, Anthony Missouri for the respondent. In this case, the only question, and it was not set forth by petitioner's counsel, is whether the record compels reversal of the agency's determination. It's respondent's contention, the U.S. government's contention, that the record does not compel the reversal. Notably, although petitioner may have demonstrated past persecution, the agency reasonably concluded that his fear of future persecution was sufficiently rebutted by a change in country conditions in Mauritania since petitioner left nearly 20 years ago. Specifically, on pages 230, 234, 239, and 240 of the record, it notes that in Mauritania since petitioner's departure, they've transitioned to a democracy. There's now a constitutional right providing for equality for all citizens, regardless of race, and that they have begun the successful repatriation of Afro-Mauritanians. And just to quickly rebut what petitioner's counsel mentioned, one of the things he talked about is that the evidence in the record from his mother and other individuals from Mauritania noted persecution. However, in his brief and nowhere in the record do any of those letters reference persecution. The two things that they mentioned, and it's on page 10-11 of petitioner's brief, is that in these, I don't have the exact quote, I can go back to the table, but that petitioner would suffer, or petitioners back there, are Afro-Mauritanians, suffer discrimination and a lack of equal representation in governmental positions, specifically the security positions. And while, you know, while that's deplorable and while it's less than ideal, this court, I think actually almost every other court of appeals has found that discrimination does not equate to persecution. And while they're less than ideal country conditions, that's not persecution within the meaning of the INA. I believe Judge Evans mentioned a question about when he came to the U.S., and the answer to that question is it's kind of up in the air, because the IJ pretty much said, hey, I can't really conclude the exact date. First he said July at initial hearing, then he said October. But, you know, I would like to mention to the court that that question is actually kind of irrelevant, simply because while the IJ found that he was statutorily ineligible for the untimely asylum app, the board didn't conclude that. So the sole question that respondent states is before the case is whether the record compels reversal of the agency's determination that there had been a fundamental change in country conditions in Mauritania. And not only does the State Department report support that finding, and the International Freedom Report support that finding, but petitioner's own statements in his brief and in those letters, there's no mention of persecution whatsoever, Your Honors. And I'm more than happy to answer any questions that any of you guys may have, and women.
Good. I'm glad you cleaned that up.
Sorry. Nervous.
All right. I think there's no questions. So thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, and the court should deny the petition for review.
Anything further, counsel?
Although I had requested a few minutes of rebuttal, I don't believe anything further really would enhance it. I think you heard my argument in the beginning and counsel's argument, and I stand on what I said in the brief. Thank you.
Before you sit down, did he ever apply for any sort of relief in Senegal?
I think that issue was also decided in the record. The Senegalese government does not give any type of asylum or citizenship to the Mauritanians. So that point was brought up, and it was glossed over. He didn't, and he couldn't, and he wouldn't be afforded any type of relief over there.
He had left Mauritania some years before and was in Senegal, and then came here from Senegal with some identification papers from fraudulent papers from Senegal.
That's correct. I think the issue, the immigration judge had addressed that issue, and I believe in the INA Act that if someone is placed in another country where he can live, then that would his asylum here would be denied. But the judge overrode that and said that he was not significantly replaced in Senegal, and that was a given. True, he did spend a number of years there. However, he could not gain any kind of rights, any kind of citizenship, any kind of residency there. So that issue, I believe, is over with. It's really the issue of his right to asylum here based on future persecution. I would just, in passing and ending, just say that this issue of that happened 18 years ago, things have not significantly changed. The country reports that counsel alludes to and the judge in 2007, there was a Mr. Well, the next year, he was overthrown. So things keep changing. Mauritania recognized the State of Israel, and then 3 years later, they withdrew that recognition. So things are not stable in that country whatsoever. And I think the record is evidence enough that the decision of the judge was incorrect in contending that there would be no further persecution for Mr. Samassa if he's returned. And we ask again that you reverse the decision for further proceedings. Thank you.
Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.